People often come up to me after I preach or a workshop, and they want to just keep talking. They might want to say thank you or whatever, but eventually we get around to them sharing a story of heartbreak, of someone that they know or someone that's a part of the church or has left the church that has somehow just drifted away from following Jesus and Jesus' priorities in disciple-making. It's almost inevitable that we get to that point. And so we're able to pray and encourage them. But the more I thought about that is that drifting just doesn't happen. I don't know anybody who's on fire today, goes to sleep tonight and wakes up tomorrow and like, eh, I don't want to do this. I give up. I give all up Christianity. Right? It doesn't happen that way. Following Jesus and living out these priorities doesn't just stop. There's a slow drift into this hedonistic lifestyle. But all of us might know somebody who's slowly drifted away from Jesus, from the disciple-making priorities that are clear in His Word. And so drifting in our faith as a disciple making intentionally happens ever so subtly. We think we're on track one moment, but then we gradually take our eyes off of Jesus and move away without even noticing until the consequences in our lives, perhaps, are way down the river. But thankfully, not all who have ever drifted completely walk away from their faith. I know I've had seasons where I've struggled and caught myself in this slow drift. And my guess is that many of you have as well. You catch yourself in this drift of like, oh, where are my priorities? Where am I going? Where's my passion for the Lord? And so I invite you to think about the last time that happened, when you were in one of those drifts, right? How would you describe that drift to someone? And so I got three pictures that I want us to look at to help us remember and describe what spiritual drift could look like. So I think the first one here, boom, there it is, right? Let's think of a campfire. Right? The campfires don't maintain themselves. We got to continually stoke it and add more wood, but it eventually will fizzle out and only the ashes remain. The same is with spiritual drift. We find ourselves avoiding church worship services, church programs, and then church leadership that calls and wants to check in on us. And we slowly disconnect from the community around us. The second image is I want you to imagine that you're on a road trip. There we are. Good, good, good. Knowing that you have a slow leak in your tire, in one or more of those tires, probably, yet you're shocked when you end up stranded on the side of the road. Like, oh, how did that happen? And with spiritual drift, we begin to see that too, that there's a slow leak in our connection with God. We and His Word. And His Word just doesn't have that same priority in our daily lives. But somehow we still end up surprised, like the road trip, that we feel deflated or disconnected from God. Like, God, where are you? Where did you go? And this third image I want us to consider is this phrase of being up a creek without a paddle. Right? Maybe you've experienced that, and you know that if you are in the middle of a lake or a river, that you are at the mercy of the current if you don't have that paddle or that motor, right? And so you're unable to choose the direction that you want to go. And the same happens in our spiritual lives with spiritual drift. We tend to only include a worship service in our lives, and we choose not to put the paddle of prayer, which we'll get to talk about, of worship into our daily lives. So these pictures, we disconnect from community. We disconnect from the priority and the authority of God's Word. And we disconnect from prayer, and it leads us to this spiritual drift. All three of these pictures of spiritual drift can leave us drifting aimlessly with the currents of the culture that we're in, or sin and what that takes us in. And if left uncorrected, we will eventually lead us to walking completely away from following Jesus together. Now, the Bible does describe this idea of spiritual drift in lots of places. So we could go to lots of scripture, but I just want to highlight three of them as we get into this idea of spiritual drift. And I think we're going to have them on the screen for us. So Psalm 141, verse 4 says this, "Don't let me drift toward evil or take part in acts of wickedness. Don't let me share in the delicacies of those who do wrong." So we see here in the Psalms, it actually uses the word drift. Another place is in Colossians. So Colossians 1:23, "But you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. The good news has been preached all over the world, and I, Paul, have been appointed as God's servant to proclaim it." Again, Paul is using this word drift very intentionally here, just like we saw in Psalms. And Hebrews 2:1, "So we must listen very carefully to the truth that we have heard, or we may drift away from it." So in light of these warnings that we just read about spiritual drift, let's take a moment to do some self-examination of our own lives to see if we notice any of these indicators of drift in our own lives. So I ask these questions to myself, and I ask them to you. Are you simply less and less interested in the things of God? You see, our culture and things that happen and sin in our own lives lead us to actually be less and less interested in the things of God. Are you staying in your comfort zone, choosing not to serve and use your spiritual gifts inside of the church or in the community? Are you living passion passively when it comes to sharing your faith with your non-Christian friends and family? It's something you become passive at. Are you spending less and less time with your Christian friends? Or are you only opening the Bible when you attend a church service like this, or an event, or a Bible study, and you're not opening it daily for yourself to be encouraged by the Word? Are you only praying short and quick prayers versus spending some unhurried time in the Word of God? Are you tempted to give up on your faith and the disciple-making mission because trials have become harder than you thought? Or maybe you're getting caught up in the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life that 1 John 2 talks about. And if it's not you, it might be someone that you know in all of this. And I've noticed in my own life when spiritual drift is happening to me, I notice that I have blind spots. And so maybe some of you need to prayerfully invite someone into your life to point it out to you. Some of us do it, and we just love to do it because that's our personality. Like, hey, you got that. We love seeing other people's specs, and we don't get them out of our own, right, or other people's logs. And so I just want you to just prayerfully consider, like, who's someone that's safe? If you're married, hopefully it's that person, or even your kids have been that for me, to say, Dad or Nate, you're missing something. You're drifting here. And so have you given permission to someone to speak into your life? And when you do, are you doing it humbly and graciously and with truth and grace? So we've spent a few minutes doing hopefully a little self-examination. And some of you might be like, okay, I'm in that drift right now. I've been drifting away. I've been putting other things ahead of Jesus. I've been watching too much news and I just drift and I become so consumed with that. Or I get overwhelmed with whatever's happening in the world, and I lose sight of what God has called me to do right in front of me, in my own family, and in my own church, in my own community. So maybe some of you are there. Maybe some of you just come out of a time of drifting, and you're like, oh, you're just experiencing the newness and freshness of a relationship with God. That is fantastic. And some of you may be like, okay, I'm starting to see that I might be drifting. I'm noticing some things in my life where I catch myself. And so no matter where you are, if you're in one now or you were in one or you're just beginning to see and recognize that the Holy Spirit might be tugging at you like you're slowly drifting, right? I want you to look at what it takes to realign our hearts, to realign our minds and our priorities on Jesus, our compass and our anchor in Him. And again, if this is not for you, it might be for someone that you're in relationship with, a family member or a friend or a neighbor who is drifting, or someone that used to come and attend church regularly and you haven't seen them in a while. And so take this, these words and say, okay, how can I, for myself, apply these anchors and these truths? Or how can I lovingly come alongside of someone that may be drifting away from what God has invited us all to do? So here's four anchors to help realign your spiritual compass and stop drifting. Anchor number one is Jesus. It's got to start with Jesus. The most important anchor in the whole world is a real relationship, a fresh relationship, not one that you used to have, but a real fresh relationship right now in your own life. What is God doing fresh in you this morning? And continuing with that. Because life will throw a lot of distractions and heartaches our way. And those are just ways, opportunities to either lead us to drift or opportunities to draw us closer to Him and the mission that He's invited us to. And so if you're going to stop drifting altogether, we need to remember that we don't need to anchor down, like if we were in a boat or in a canoe or a kayak or whatever, but we need to anchor up. And that comes straight from Scripture. In Hebrews, there it is. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. See, our hope is in Jesus. Our hope is in heaven. Our anchor is up, not down. And so that is the most important relationship that you need to have. If you're here and you haven't made that decision, if you haven't placed your hope and trust and faith in Him for forgiveness of sin, we need to make that decision today. Come talk to me. Come talk to a friend that brought you or one of the leaders here at church. It's where we start. The anchor only makes sense if we're anchored up. You don't have to have your life all together, perfect, and all figured out. We just need to come. Come to Him. Bring all your sin. Bring all your hurt. Bring all the ugliness and disappointment and heartache and bring it to Him, so that He can anchor you in His love and in His truth and who He is, and bring our identity into Him and not into whatever it is that's distracting our life. Anchor number two, we need to fan the flame of disciple-making friendships. So I brought this little guy here. So some of you maybe use one of these for your own fireplace or something like that. And it's this idea that we connected to that first picture, right? A campfire will go out if we don't continue to add and fan that flame. And so these were designed to get that enough oxygen into some of those harder places to keep a fire going. And it's the same picture that we need in our life when we are drifting or we want to keep from drifting. We need to fan the flame of disciple-making friendships. We see this in Timothy. There it is. This is why I remind you to fan into the flames, here we go, the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. What a beautiful reminder of laying hands on this morning. And the power that comes, right? And this power comes from the Lord. And so if when we see our lives fizzling out, this idea of drifting, right? We need to maintain a spiritual fire. Intentionally, it takes effort. The best way that I found to do that is friendships, right? To spend some time intentionally with disciple-making friends. Now, disciple-making happens with both the believer and the unbeliever, but when we are drifting as believers, I need time with friends like Eric, who can just speak truth into me and pray for me and encourage me. And so who are those friends in your life? It's always a both and when you need mutual relationship and friendships to fan this flame. So I found that spending time with unbelievers, right, and believers can be energizing. But when my spiritual flame is fizzling, I need time with my Christian friend. And so then the opposite of that is we tend to drift away from that and isolate and move away from the community. So it's counterintuitive. We need to actually get into more time. Time with, it's the beginning, it's the foundation, it's the irreducible minimum of disciple making, is spending time with other people. And so when you get time with your friend, do something that you love and you care about. Have a campfire, work on your truck, right? Bake cookies, mail them to me in Indiana. That would be great. Play video games, drink coffee, whatever you love to do. Spending time just re-energizes our hearts and our minds when we begin to drift. But we don't want to just stay with that. We want to actually bring God into our lives. We want to bring a real, authentic relationship into all of our friendships in just natural ways, whether it's with the people behind you or in front of you or next to you. How does that God just overflow naturally into your life? Or whether you're in Mexico or at the high rise or somewhere in Amory or beyond, it just naturally overflows. And so if you're a follower of Jesus, we see here that we can't neglect our spiritual gifts either. And so what an amazing spot to say, we're a part of a beautiful family here at East Lincoln. And to say, I need friends to help me not drift. So we're going to get together and we serve. So maybe the Holy Spirit's tugging on you to start volunteering with the youth ministry or the coffee making ministry or the high-rise ministry, whatever that would look like. How is God nudging you, and how cool it is then you get to rub shoulders with one another and encourage one another and pray for one another and help each other in this idea of not spiritual drifting. Anchor number three is that we need to fill up on the Word of God. Romans 15:13 says this, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in Him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. So in likeness of our flat tire, the contrast is we need to fill up. What do we fill up on? We need to fill up with the Word of God. And it brings joy and hope and the power that the Holy Spirit brings in our lives. And so I want to get really practical with this idea. It's the beginning of the year. I know we're at February 1st. But how are you feasting on the Word of God on your own time? Do you have a Bible reading plan? And so here's just a few things to consider. Which book of the Bible are you going to study? Right? Maybe it's one you've read 100 times or one that's new and encouraging to you, right? Maybe it's a well-known one or a newer one, less known. Maybe you've spent a lot of time in the New Testament and it's time to go to the Old Testament. However that looks, how are you spending time in the Word? Right? Maybe it's a book study. Maybe you need to read a specific book and just dive deep into that. Or a character study. Pick one of the amazing biblical stories and just get to know one of those. Freshen it up. Right? That's how we fill up. That's how we stay fresh in our walk with God. The more you get to know God, the more you want to spend time with Him. And so maybe it's you need to freshen up your routine. Maybe you're used to doing it in the morning or at night. Great. So maybe you need to listen to a psalm in the morning or at night. Maybe you need to spend some time copying the Word with your hand. And it just begins to write a journal. And what a gift for your kids. If you hand write God's Word, and then you are able to hand that off to your kids or your grandkids. Right? Freshen things up. Keep it fresh. Maybe watch one of Eric's sermon series again, right? Or pick someone else on YouTube or podcasts and just listen to it. But then write something down and text it to a friend or send an email to a friend. Send a link. Like, this is really speaking to me. Freshen things up so that this idea of filling up on the Word of God brings you true joy and peace. Because boy, do we need more of that in our world than ever. When we see the tragedies in our world and our country and beyond, if you are men and women and teenagers and boys and girls who have joy and hope, what a beautiful example. Someone's going to say, well, why are you so full of hope? Why are you so full of peace? And then you have an opportunity just to tell them about what God is doing afresh in your life. It's also super contagious if someone is drifting and they're like, whoa, I want to see that. A cool story that I met people in Maine. And the churches there, again, are small, but there is a group of people that have immigrated from Africa into Maine, and those immigrants from Africa are on fire for Jesus, and they are bringing a great resurgence to the churches in Maine. This small little, I think it's Costco Alliance Church is one of the churches I went to, right in the middle of Maine, and it was just this beautiful place. But they're seeing a resurgence of what God is doing because people are coming with this joy, right? And this peace that they don't have or they were full of discouragement. So my prayer is that as you fill up on the Word of God, right, you will find rest in His truth and in His promises, that the Word of God will quench every crevice and longing in your life. And may you align your heart back with His heart for His Word and for His people as you pray and as you fill up on the Word of God with an overflowing joy and peace. The fourth anchor and our final anchor is to paddle daily in prayer. And we got to go back to the Psalms for this. Psalm 25 says, "Lead me by your truth and teach me, for you are the God who saves me. All day long I put my hope in you." All right, I brought my... Oh boy. Spill the communion. That would have been a memorable guest speaker, huh? He's not coming back. but putting this idea of prayer, right? When we are drifting, church just becomes a service or an event that we attend to or we attend to less and less. And so like that third illustration of being up a river without a paddle, we must choose to daily put our hope and our plans in Him or risk being swept away by culture and sin in our lives. And I do this best, and I've seen so many people do it best, when they allow the Holy Spirit to in their lives, to guide and direct them, to give them direction, to not allow them to drift aimlessly. And that happens when we put the paddle of prayer in our lives every day. We know the importance of the Word, but prayer, what role does prayer have in your life? And so here's a few questions that I've asked myself in prayer. Is that, am I experiencing a growing awareness of the presence of the Holy Spirit? Am I experiencing a deepening expectancy with the Holy Spirit? Am I experiencing more Spirit-led intentionality in my relationships with believers as well as unbelievers? And am I experiencing prayer more as an ongoing conversation versus just short little prayers or a list? And so many people only attend this worship service but choose not to put the paddle of prayer into their lives because it takes effort and discipline to do. We leave prayer out of our lives and drifting happens. It actually, I think it acts more like a speedboat. When we choose not to pray, we just get in a speedboat towards culture and sin instead of drifting slowly towards it. Prayer may be mysterious, but it's not needed to be confusing. So if people have said, oh, prayer's confusing, I don't understand it, it may be mysterious, but it's not confusing. So help people understand. Dallas Willard says, I don't know if I put this quote up there. What's the next slide? Not yet, but it's there. You can keep it on that slide. Dallas Willard says this great quote. He says, "Prayer is talking with God about what we are going to do together." So it's this invitation to say, okay, God, what do you want me to do today? Where are we going today? Where are we paddling in prayer today? Who are the people I need to spend time with? Who are the people I need to encourage? Who are the people I need to open up God's word with? How can I live and do my job? And how can I be a better parent or grandparent? The Holy Spirit paddles in prayer with us. He gives us direction. It helps us to understand and not be left alone. We got to put the paddle of prayer in our lives. So one final thought. This is where I brought my football today. So we're in Wisconsin. Not all of you are Packer fans, I understand. Some of you are, right? So Vince Lombardi, right? I'm sure you've maybe heard this story lots of times, and I appreciate it and I love it. But he would get up every year and hold up the football to his football team and say, "This is a football. And if we're going to win football games, we need to protect this football. We need to do the right things with this football if we're going to win." So whether you're the most veteran on the team, or you were the new rookie, or you were the star quarterback, or just a role player that's a backup left guard, he would say, we need to take care of this. It was a simple reminder, a simple message that we, no matter how many games we won or lost the year before, we need to be about the basics. We need to come back to the foundations and the fundamentals of football. And so, unlike football, as disciple makers, we're not going to cut people from the team who aren't good enough. We want to get more people on our team. We want to see more people engaged in serving and ministry. We want to see more people being a disciple and making more disciples. And so for me, the way that I do this and come back to the most fundamentals of who I am and who I need to be, for me, it's the disciple maker's prayer. I think we got that slide here. I've shared that with us last time. The disciple maker's prayer reminds me of the priorities of where I need to live my daily life. And so I pray it every day. I ask God to, I thank Him for giving me this disciple-making way of life. And I ask Him to give me the strength to love the people who cross my path, starting with my family, but not ending there. And so sometimes it's those that are different than me, or have different thoughts or different opinions on politics or life in general. But to me, this is the prayer that says, okay, these are the fundamentals of what God has asked me to do. And when I've prayed this prayer and it's been a part of my life, it's not a magic prayer, it's not a magic formula, but I put these prayer practices into my life and it's helped me keep from drifting. And so, like Vince Lombardi would hold the football to keep his team focused on winning games, what is it for you? What is your reminder? What is your football? To be like, okay, I'm not going to drift. Or when I catch myself drifting, I'm going to, oh yeah, boom, I need to get back to that. For me, it's the disciple maker's prayer. I have copies for you if you would like one. It's our new prayer card. And so I'd love to just give you one of those. It's a way that you, hopefully you can remember to pray for us. We need that more than ever. And so take the prayer and just begin to pray it and begin to see what God might do in your life, in your family, in your community, and in this church as we keep our focus on the priorities of disciple making. It will keep us from drifting in our lives and will help us to bring others out of drift as well. Let me pray for us, and then Eric, you can come on up, right? God, we love you. We thank you. We are so grateful for your word. We thank you for the pictures of spiritual drift that we can begin to recognize and not go down that road, down that river as fast. So I pray, Lord, for boldness for myself, but also my friends here, that we would have anchors, our ultimate anchor in you, Jesus, but these anchors that would bring us back to friendship, to the word and to prayer, and to reminders that we're not alone, and reminders of the mission and the fundamentals that we are called back to. stir in us, awaken us yet again. Keep us from drifting and help us to have strength and courage to walk alongside of others who may be beginning to drift. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen.